excited as we continue today in our service and talk about what God is doing in and through us, and that the fact that God came in into a broken world. We're talking about the Advent, and our series is God with Us. And today, we're going to be talking about joy into a broken world. Amen? And there's nothing like joy like little newborn babies. You might be thinking I'm talking about Jesus right now, but I'm actually looking at a couple of babies in our presence this morning. The Cargills have a new baby, the Cloyds have a new baby, and they're here this morning, their very first church service. Wow, come on, let's welcome these little babies. But not too loud, you're gonna wake them up. Just joking. I'm excited at what God's doing. We're going to grow this church, and sometimes we're just going to grow it the old-fashioned way. Men, that's your opportunity. Come on. Come on. You know, as we talk about joy coming into a broken world, I think that that is so important to make a distinction, that joy came into our broken place, not after we ran after God, not after we prayed, not after we that we chased God, but God came in and he brought joy to us. And that's so important right here, right where we are. So I want us to lean in and talk about how God has brought joy to us. And I think about all the Christmas things in my life that has brought joy, or at least reminded me about joy. Like these moments where I spent at my granddad and grandma's house growing up. One of the coolest memories I have as a kid growing up in celebrating Christmas, my family would always go to my grandparents' house over Christmas. And there was a couple of times where my grandmother invited me to make ornaments. And she obviously did not know my ability in art or my lack thereof, but she always, it was so neat, she would hand me a glass bulb. And she would allow us to pour paint inside of the bulb, and we'd swirl it around, and then we'd take these paint little markers, and we'd write things like Merry Christmas, or on this one, like a snowflake. There's snowmen in here. There's all sorts of stuff I remember making as a kid. This one's a wreath. I mean, there's just so many memories. That was close. I almost broke it. to ruin a memory, it doesn't take much. To have an accident when we're holding a moment of joy in our hands and we allow it to slip through. It's kind of like that in life, isn't it? How joy seems to be so tangible in our life. How joy brings a smile on all of our faces. How we get so excited when we think about things that bring us, that fill us with love and laughter and light. And then something happens in our lives. In what seems like a moment. And joy's safe. Somebody needs to invest in this glass company. But then something in our life changes, and joy's gone. It seems like nothing is safe in life when it comes to the fragility of our joy. That we hold in our hands, we cherish these moments, we look, and then in a moment, it's gone. And that somebody or someone out there just doesn't want us to be happy. And how many of you know that that's the truth? There's an enemy of our life. The Bible says his name is Satan, and he came to kill, steal, and destroy. And one of the things that he loves to steal is our joy. Our joy. But why would God make joy so fragile? Because if you've ever been in a situation or a circumstance and you feel like all you have is that little moment of joy because you don't have anything else, and you're just cherishing this moment of joy, and then all of a sudden, somebody comes and takes it out of your hand and steals it. We all know what that moment's like. We all have been there. As a matter of fact, I was just talking to Tara this morning. Tara didn't give me permission to share this. That's why I'm going to share it. Driving a 2-hour-old vehicle off of the lot, going into the Walmart parking lot. First mistake. And somebody intentionally scratches her vehicle. Can I tell you something? That there's people in the world that because they don't have joy, they don't want you to have joy. Can I tell you that joy for them is something so fleeting that is there and gone, and and anger is never the primary emotion. Anger is always a secondary emotion that covers the pain that people feel inside, that covers a fear of loss. And all of a sudden, this joy that we had that was so dear and near to us feels like it's the furthest thing away. And if we're standing here today holding not an ornament in our hand, but a moment that we have joy in, we all also know what it's like to have that joy gone. And truth is that joy seems to slip out of our fingers so easily. It may not be an ornament. It may just be a season of life. Or maybe it's a relationship or a dream that you once had that now you know can never be. And the thing that you're working towards, the thing that you're holding on so closely, so diligently with, the thing that you're chasing after is now forever out of your reach. We all know what it's like. And Christmas has a way of bringing those feelings to the surface. Christmas has a way, even though that we're singing the songs about joy, we're singing songs about how wonderful it is. We're all gathering together in little cozy houses with stuff in the oven that just smells like it tastes so good. When we really take an inventory of our heart, we can't help but not see the joy, but we see the loss. We see the pain. We see the regret. We see the things that we once had that we no longer have. And it hurts deeply inside. We're hoping God sees the places where the joy has cracked and broken. We're hoping that God sees our loss and does something about it. But year after year, moment after moment, we still feel like we're left just holding the pieces of it all. But the good news is this: we're not the first people to feel like that. Joy didn't come into a perfect world. It came into a broken one that was full of pain, full of regret, full of misery, full of darkness, full of disease, full of death. There's people that were disappointed, that were afraid, that were lonely, people that were uncertain about their future. And those people, they're a lot like us right now. The truth is that if we open up our Christmas story in Luke chapter 2, we're going to realize that joy broke out in the middle of a place that was not expected in life. It wasn't a palace. It wasn't a temple. It wasn't to a holy people. In fact, joy broke into the world in a field, on the outskirts of society, in a dark place, to a group of shepherds who were some of the most unlikely people to receive the good news of great joy. They weren't the people that you invite to celebrate good news of great joy. They weren't the people that usually are supposed to have the good news first. As a matter of fact, they were the kind of people that you forget to tell the good news to. They're ordinary men doing ordinary jobs, but into their darkness, joy arrived. You see, joy didn't wait for a perfect people or a perfect place. While the rest of the world slept, joy came and invaded the sky around Bethlehem that night. The shepherds hadn't moved towards God at all that night. They weren't praying, they weren't fasting, they weren't believing, they weren't huddled together hoping. They were just doing their job in an ordinary place around ordinary sheep, and they smelled, well, let's just say extraordinary. But it was all too ordinary. And yet, in that moment, the angels came. And the first word out of their mouth wasn't a word of judgment. It wasn't a word of correction. It wasn't a comparison. It wasn't a list of things that they needed to fix before joy could come. The first words out of their mouth were good news of great joy. Joy didn't wait for the perfect condition. It didn't wait for the daylight. It didn't wait for the right place at the right time in the right environment. It came in the middle of the brokenness to broken people in broken situations at the broken edges of our world. And can I tell you that the good news part is that it still does today. Joy comes where you are. It comes where you are. You know, the shepherds that night, whenever I think about them, I can't help but laugh, because if you're trying to plan on where joy would come for the first moment, I could think of a lot better ways to do things. As a matter of fact, I mean, like, I'm not trying to put myself in God's position, but sometimes it feels like he made a mistake in bringing joy to that place, because if I was going to plan it, it would be in the daylight, right in front of everybody, maybe in the temple, and there would be lights, and there would be cameras, and there would be sound, and there would be music, and there would be all this wonderful stuff happening, and everybody would see it. But that's actually not what happened at all. It couldn't be more different. It was something else. I wouldn't have picked a field. I wouldn't have picked the dark. I wouldn't pick the shepherds. I wouldn't pick nighttime. But God did. God didn't wait for all the right places and all the right times and all the right people. As a matter of fact, God chose normal people doing normal things in normal places. Most of us in here, that's how our lives really are. They're not Instagram, Facebook-worthy lives. They're just ordinary, regular. But that's the place where life lives, in the ordinary and regular. And if God's presence, if God's joy only shows up in the social media worthy moments, then we're in trouble, aren't we? And I'm so thankful and grateful to the Lord that he chose to come to where and to whom he showed up. See, when the angel came, his message was also, even though extraordinary, it was incredibly simple. It wasn't complicated at all. It wasn't a warning. It wasn't a lecture. It was a simple message. And this is what it said. In Luke 2, verse 10, "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people." Can I tell you this morning that the shepherds didn't move towards God that night, but God, he moved towards them. He moved towards them. The reality of the situation is this: that joy is actually not fragile at all. Joy is not an emotion. Joy is not this feeling that you have to protect and keep alive in your heart so that you can enjoy it. Joy is not an it, it's a who. And joy is the person of Jesus Christ. Good news of great joy. Who's the good news of great joy? It's Jesus. And Jesus is not fragile. Jesus is present in our lives. See, Scripture doesn't say that they were praying or hoping and believing. Joy just came to them in that moment of darkness. It doesn't say that they were even thinking about God at all. They were just working. God showed up in the middle of their work. They were unnoticed, and God noticed them. They were in the middle of their normal and heaven broken, because joy doesn't wait for perfect conditions. Joy comes right where we are. Jesus comes right where we are. When we slow down and take a moment to actually look at Luke chapter 2, we find something very important that stands out. The shepherds weren't the spiritually elite. They weren't Pharisees, they weren't Sadducees, they weren't leaders, they weren't rulers, they weren't the heads of the households. They were just people, normal, ordinary people. As a matter of fact, they weren't even that great of people. Most of the time we associate as scholars shepherds as an underclass sort of citizen. They were considered unclean because of what they did. They were considered unreliable because they were often not able to be relied upon. They were in and around, all moving all the way through, almost vagrant lives. And, well, they were certainly not spiritual insiders. They weren't priests. They weren't scholars. They weren't influential. As a matter of fact, in the first century, shepherds were considered bad news. And yet, this is where God chose to announce the birth of Jesus. That doesn't tell us something about the shepherds. That tells us something about God's very own heart. That Jesus, that joy is announced to all people. That joy can break into our hearts and our lives when we least expect it. And that God came to bring good news of great joy to people that the world measures in a different way than God measures. See, the world measures people in a way that they have a certain status or a certain elevation to who they are. They have some type of position, but God chooses to measure people in an altogether different way. He measures them in a way that doesn't speak of who they are as what they possess, but the value that he has created them with. And yet, this God still announced the birth of Jesus to them. It's amazing. In their world, no one expected heaven to even speak to them, but God did speak to them. Nobody expected God to come in that way, but God did come in that. Nobody expected Jesus to be born into the manger. They expected Jesus to be born on a throne. But joy instead came in a way that no one was ready to receive. No one was expecting. It came in just a moment that the joy of the Lord entered this darkest, quietest, most unlikely corner of the countryside, and it came to those who least expected it. So if Christmas this year tells us anything about joy, it tells us that joy doesn't need to be chased, that joy can't, you can't run up and capture it, you can't make the Hallmark moment, if you will. Instead, joy is the thing that comes to us. It's the thing that comes in our ordinary broken lives, and it's the thing that is not fragile and doesn't lay in pieces in your heart and your life. Instead, joy is the thing that is strong and it is present and it's personal. See, joy comes right in the middle of your long nights, right in the middle of your broken relationships, right in the middle of your pain, right in the middle of your tears, right in the middle of everything going wrong, all at the same time. Because joy is not a what, it's a who, and joy loves you. And it came for you, not the good version of you either, the messed up, broken version of you. That's the good news. And joy hasn't forgotten about you. Joy hasn't left you out in the field. Joy hasn't left you in the dark. It hasn't left you in your night. It's drawn near to you and cares about what you're going through and hopes to bring light and love and peace and joy in the moments that you feel the darkest, in the moments that you feel all alone, in the moments that you feel afraid, in the moments that you feel like nothing else can be right again. That's what joy does. Joy is already on its way to meet you right in that place. And what happens whenever joy comes? Can I tell you this morning that joy speaks a better word over your life? It speaks a better word. You know, back in college, I was a residential assistant, an RA, and I was expected to be a good role model for all the guys living on my hall. I had about 35 guys that lived on my hall. And can I tell you something? These are all guys in ministry school. They're all guys studying the Word of God. They were all rotten to the core. I'm telling you. I mean, listen, they loved the Lord. I'm not questioning that. But every one of them was messed up in some kind of weird way. And one of these guys that came into my room, this is how he's messed up. He had this hobby. It wasn't really like a hobby like you would know it. It was more like a psychological warfare hobby, if you will. Because every time he would come into my room, we would have really good talks. We'd talk about the Lord, what God's doing in his ministry, and you know, everything that's going on in his life. It was really celebratory, but he would like nonchalantly just kind of walk through my room as we're talking and grab a book off the bookshelf and just pull it out a little bit too far. And I'm the kind of guy that there was, everything was in its place. Everything had a place and it was in it. And as we were talking, he would just slowly move a chair about 10 degrees off center. And he would take a picture and he would turn it the wrong way. And he would take a pillow off of my bed and put it in my chair. And it was just this, and I wouldn't even catch it. I wouldn't see what he was doing because it was so slow. It was so subtle. It was so different that it just didn't get noticed in that moment. And he was the kind of guy that he just, it was like, this is not how a normal person acts in somebody else's room. Stop. Don't ever do that to me, guys. Because I didn't notice it, but whenever he left, I began to look around my room and everything felt off. Everything was just different. And at that moment, I don't know, it's something about my personality. I had to get up and I had to go around my entire room and fix everything. Like I question everything. Like the picture looks off now, and the chair is not. I had to move the chair and the books, and it was just. It would be like 5 minutes of like anxiety to me because everything in my world felt off. And I kind of think that that's how life is with some of us sometimes. Is that something happens to us, and all that we want to do is walk around in life, and you know, and take back the word, and then put the relationship back over here, and it's not broken. It's just different, and it's wrong, and we know it, and we need to fix it. But the problem is that life is not like the rooms that we live that we can walk around in 5 minutes and fix. As a matter of fact, most of the issues in life that we deal with end up being unresolved issues. And we couldn't put it back if we tried, because heaven knows that we've tried to put things back. And we're left to live in this room of our life, feeling and knowing that everything around us is in some way just a little bit wrong. And it robs us many times of our joy. We wish that we could just go back and fix it. But the bad news is that nothing stays fixed. And even Before long, we notice that all the things around us that we fixate on at this point begin to speak louder to us than the things that are right. Before you know it, it feels like everything is wrong and nothing is right. When the angel finally speaks to the shepherds, the very first thing out of their mouth is, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people." In that moment, the shepherds are hearing words they've never heard before. When society spoke over them unclean, when society said undesirable, when society said unworthy, when society said insignificant, when society said that you belong out there, not in here, when society was complacent about their hurting, about their pain, and leaving them on the outside, in the outskirts of everything that was happening, all the life that was happening in the city, all of a sudden, heaven broke through with a new word over their life that spoke something different, something that they weren't used to. And in just one moment, God reframed their entire identity that was predicated on the thought that they were less than people. And in a moment, they turned into people that were worthy to receive good news of great joy. In a moment, heaven decided that they were people that were worthy to first hear the news of a Savior that was born into the world, that would take away the sins of the world. In a moment, they realized that they were worthy to receive the joy that God had, because God desired to bring them close. Praise God. When the angels spoke over those words over them, it wasn't just comforting. It was a complete reversal of their whole identity. But that night changed everything for them, because it wasn't a temple, it was just on a hill in the darkness. See, God intentionally speaks joy where the world chooses to speak something else. He intentionally interjects his joy over those that the world says something else about. The shepherds heard their labels their whole lives, but God chose to speak a better word over them. This wasn't accidental. It was part of God's plan. It was how he chose to reveal himself into the world. Joy was reserved for people that were worthy, people that had climbed the ladder of success, for people that were holy, for people that resided within the life of the city. But here God chose something different. He decided that joy was for anyone and everyone that he drew close to. And it shaped them in that moment. Luke wants us to see in this moment that joy is not just a feeling. Joy is a person, and that person of Jesus declares something about who we are. It's his voice overriding every lesser voice in our lives. His voice speaking something over every hurt, every pain, every situation, every disgrace, every moment of guilt over your life. His voice is shouting and declaring something different. It's a better word. It's a word that says, it doesn't matter what you've lost, it doesn't matter how you failed, it doesn't matter where you've been or who you've talked to, it doesn't matter what you struggle with, I am here, joy is here, and I can be yours. I can be yours. In this moment, when you really think about that, those shepherds, they had every reason to believe something was wrong with them, because of their labels, because of their burden. But God stepped into that night with that different word. Just because there's loud voices in your life, just because somebody's spoken a word over you, just because you've walked around carrying the label like I talked about in the message piece, doesn't mean that that label is true. It doesn't mean that that's how God feels about you. Because he has come, joy has come to speak a better word, to change your identity and replace that mourning that you feel, that sadness that you feel, that left out feeling that you feel, the loneliness that you feel. He has come to replace it with his joy. But where does joy take us? Joy leads us forward. You know, there's this moment in life, I think we've all been there, that something's happened and we can't help but just stand back and look around at our lives and wonder, okay, what's next? I don't know what to do. Because if I had it my way, I'd go back in time and I'd change something, I'd fix something, I'd make something right so that my future was different. But now I'm here and the ornament is broken, the sadness is calm, the loss is felt, the hurt is felt, the words have been spoken, and there's nothing that I can do about it. So what's next anyway? These moments, they feel like that's... We feel like that's all we have sometimes, is this question of what's next. You know, life doesn't come with a reset button. How many would have already worn that button out? I would have pressed that thing so hard, the word reset would have been rubbed right off of it. So many things in my life I wish I could reset. But God doesn't allow us to go and do that. But I think that's the beauty of what God has done in my life and in your life. Because no matter the hurt and the pain that you've had, no matter what situation and circumstance you've dealt with, no matter the loss that you've endured, no matter the diagnosis or the prognosis that you have, no matter the broken relationship, no matter whatever is going on in your life, the truth of the matter is this. Are you ready? That joy is present. And that it doesn't matter what you feel like you've gone through. All that matters is that joy is leading you somewhere new, somewhere better. I wish there was these moments in counseling whenever somebody's sitting right across from me. And they're just reciting this old broken story of hurt and pain. So-and-so did this, and they said this, and here I am. And it's not fair. And I'm so angry, and I'm so hurt. And I know that I'm not supposed to seek revenge, and I don't seek revenge. And I feel like I wake up and try to give it to the Lord every day over and over again, but there's something wrong with me, Pastor, because I just don't want to feel this hurt and pain anymore. I just wish that I felt joy like I used to. And I wish that I could crawl inside of their heart and flip the switch and say, joy is already there. He's already there. I can't. Joy doesn't just speak a better word over your past. It opens a doorway in your heart to a new path forward in life. There's a reason why we as Christians, no matter the situation we've come from, our future is always brighter. It's the joy that we have in the Lord. The knowledge of his return, the knowledge that he has prepared a better place for us. The knowledge that it's not just some distant future, but it's right here for us. That joy breaks into our broken situations and it begins not necessarily to set everything right on the outside, but put us right on the inside. If you don't believe me, let me read to you from the shepherd's own experience, what joy did for them. Verse 15, when the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that's happened, which the Lord has told us about. Verse 16 says, they hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. See, there's this phrase that the shepherds use, let's go. Turn to somebody and say, let's go. Not yet. Stay here for a second. Because this is so important. I think everybody needs to hear what's going on here, because this could change your life. See, the words let's go in this moment is a turning point. It's a moment of change in the shepherd's understanding of who they are and what they're to do, because watch this, the angels went back to heaven. All of a sudden the song is over, the light is gone, and they're back in their darkness. It's still cold outside now. They're still on a hill outside of the city with sheep. Nothing changed about that situation, except they received news, good news of great, good news of great, good news of great what? Joy. See, joy didn't just calm them down. Joy didn't just take away the anxiety. Joy didn't change the circumstances of what they were doing or where they were or what was going on all around them. Joy did something more significant. Joy stirred something in their hearts that said, I can't stay here. I can't sit here in the middle of all this. I need to step out and see what God is doing next. And I need to tell somebody about it. And notice this. They did this in spite of their circumstances being the same. Joy simply gave them a direction and pointed them towards Jesus. Joy pointed them towards Jesus, and that's what real joy does. It doesn't stay broken on the floor. It lives in our hearts, and it constantly calls us back to Jesus and what he's done for us. That's real joy. Joy becomes an invitation to step out from the pain, the hurt, the loss that we've experienced, and to step into what God is going to do next in our lives. When we slow down and we really look at what the shepherds did, they looked at each other and said, what are we doing here? We have got to go. Let's go. And when they arrived, they met Jesus. They met Jesus. That's something so significant. See, joy, it doesn't erase the unknowns. It gives us enough light to take the next step. They didn't have all the answers. They didn't have all the guarantees. They didn't understand what joy was going to look like whenever they saw him. They knew that there would be signs. They knew that they were going to see something, but they weren't exactly sure. Joy doesn't answer all the questions. Joy doesn't explain away all the problems. Joy doesn't even change the circumstances. It changes us. It causes us to have boldness to begin to step out and do something new with our lives, because it's not about what's going on. It's about who's going on inside of us. And there's some people here, even here this morning, that for a long time you've been sitting in the middle of your pain, in the middle of your agony, hoping that joy would come back to you. Sir, ma'am, joy has already come, and his name is Jesus, and he's calling you to something better. So would you stand up and would you begin to take steps towards the future that God actually has for you, because his future is always leading you to the good news of great joy to all people. Yes, even you. Would you stand with me all over this place? Let's stand and find joy, because joy isn't a finish line that you reach. Joy is a direction that you follow Jesus in. Heavenly Father, I thank you and I praise you, Lord, for sending good news of great joy to all people. It's not just people back then and there. It's not just the Jews. It's also anybody and everybody that your Holy Spirit draws. And your word declares that you don't desire anybody to perish, but for everyone to have life. Lord, not life in anguish, not life in despair, not life mixed with immense sadness and agony, but life that is joy. Lord, scripture's replete with moments, Lord, where in place of our sadness, in the place of our brokenness, in the place of the tragedy, you come in the midst of all of it and bring joy. And I pray, God, that there would be those people here today, Lord, that would receive your joy, that would receive what you have for them, because the good news of great joy is you, Jesus. Hallelujah. With your head bowed and your eyes still closed, I simply want to ask you this morning, you've come here and you've been carrying something pretty heavy. You've been carrying a burden and you feel like the devil is always trying just to steal your joy. You wish that you could overcome it, but you can't. You've been chasing joy, but you hadn't caught it. And you're here today and you say, Pastor John, all I want is for God, for me to stop trying to chase joy and for joy to come to me, for Jesus to come to me. And if that's you, you just need his joy this morning. Would you just simply slip up your hand so I know that I can pray with you this morning? If that's you, just slip up your hand all over this place. Yes, I see you. Yes, 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 I see you. Yes, yes, I see you. I'm looking all over. Yes, I see you. Wow. Wow. Yes, I see you. Wow. Wow. So many people. Right now, I want you to take the person's hand standing next to you, the person that you came with. I want you to grab them. I want you to lead them down to this altar. And I want you to find a place with that person. And I want you to pray in this moment. God, I pray, God, that you would bring joy into my life through the person of Jesus. Would you just begin to step down and make that prayer your prayer this morning? Ask for Jesus to come in and bring you good news of great joy, his presence in your life. Would you just step out of your seat from all over, come down and begin to pray? Heavenly Father, we love you, we praise you, we thank you, God. I pray, God, that you would make your presence known in this place. Hallelujah. I'm going to continue to pray. Let's continue to pray and worship this morning. Today, the good news of great joy is Jesus. That he's drawn near to our hearts and desires to do a work in our lives that doesn't just comfort us in the moment, but takes us through the moment and always leads to him in a better and brighter future. I'm thankful for doing life together as a church, and I want you to know something. That instead of chasing a feeling, instead of hoping and praying that everything works out right because that's the only way that things are going to be right, that we change our mindset and realize that things are already right because Jesus is here with us. That our family can have joy in them again, no matter the pain, the loss, the conflict. Because Jesus can be in our families. That we take joy everywhere we go and we tell everybody about our joy because joy made a difference in our lives. And that joy doesn't just leave us in the moment, but it leads us to a new place. That we can boldly walk into the future that God has for us because that future has Jesus in it. I'm so grateful for that. I want to be a place, I want to be a church that when we find God, we find joy. And whenever I look on the bright and shiny faces of his saints, some of us are very somber in our joy. Some of us need to tell our face that we are joyful. I'm guilty of it. I'm thankful, and I want to be continuously be a church that gives hope, because the hope that we have in Him is good news of great joy. And I want to be a people, and I want to be a church that does life together, because doing life together with Jesus brings us great joy. So let's take joy everywhere we go. Let's take it out of this church and bring it to where it really is supposed to be. To the people that don't feel like they have earned it, that don't deserve it, the people that feel like they're in darkness, the people that are hurting or lost, people that really actually need good news of great joy. Heavenly Father, I thank you and I praise you for all that you've done in our hearts and our lives today. And I thank you, Lord, for sending Jesus, for sending joy. And Lord, we hold on to that joy, but not in the place that we are. We allow that joy to propel us, God, into the new places that you've called us to go. And I pray that you would anoint us and cause us to walk in it. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that that joy inside of us would change the atmosphere around us. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that our families would be healed, our marriages would be healed, our workplaces would be healed, and that there would be light and life and joy everywhere we go, because we take you where we go. And we pray all this in your name, Jesus. Amen and amen. God bless you, and let the joy of the Lord be your strength. Praise God.